verse 3, God said, I knew what John 14:3, but it couldn't find that in chapter 14. I don't know why. But John, the 14th chapter, God said, and if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there he may be also. You know, God said in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. I'm sure that if we could imagine what those mansions are, that we would be satisfied with one of them. But I believe that God is telling me there's a special place for the bride. My granddaughter is getting married in August, I think. Not sure, but I believe it's August. Because the reason I'm not sure, because she's been preparing for a year, it seems like. I told him, I said, I'm save y'all a lot of money. Just come over to church, get 2% up with you, and for 15 minutes of your time, I'm save you $4,000-$6,000. But see, the bride is special in this earthly world. And let me tell you, church, the bride of Christ is wonderful. The angelic messenger informed the disciples on the day of Jesus' return to the Father. Notice with me in the book of Acts. We don't want to rush this. It's too good, you know. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11. God said here, which also said, ye men of Galilee, ye stand gazing up into the heavens, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go to heaven. In every chapter of Paul's two epistles to the church in Thessalonica, the return of Jesus Christ is declared to be an invocable promise of God. Therefore, the question is not if he is coming, but when. But when is he coming? God said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, note with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, but of the time and season, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them has travailed upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, talking to the church, are not in darkness, that that day shall overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 6, speaking to Baptist churches all over this country. God said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Reading and praying is how I communicate with God. How often do we talk to Him? Are we like the four-year-old that learned to pray, Father, now allow me down to bed and make me sleep, and all that little poem, and everybody's just so happy? God said in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us be alert. If you see what's happening in this world, if you see what's happening in the churches, I had a Methodist preacher who's in my in-laws' family. He said, your daughter thinks a lot of you and your knowledge and ability to preach the gospel. We have a problem at our church. And he went on and on, and I listened, and I said, who's your pastor? Sister so-and-so. Yep, you got a problem, all right. He said, what's wrong with that? Well, because a sister, even with a check change, can't become a man. They only think they are. God made us male and female. You understand that? Good. God said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet and the hope of salvation. For God have not appointed us to wrath. Sorry about you mid-cred people. I love you, but you need to get your theology right on this. God said in verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. I love that verse 10. Whether we sleep or whether we awake or sleep. Matter of fact, my wife will get to see the Lord before I do. Unless He decides to take me, and then we'll both go up together. That's a good teaching. We need to understand, as Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. As you look closely at this verse, you might wrongly conclude that Paul felt it is important to spend time considering the topic of Christ's return. That is not what Paul was saying. He used two important words that we need to understand. The first word is times, T-I-M-E-S. This is the root word for modern term chronological, which means a science that deals with the determination of dates and the sequence of events, the arrangements of events in time, and God has got them all in order. Seasons. This word means due measure, a measure of time, a fixed and definite time, the time when things are brought to crisis, the decisive epoch wait for. We can't wait. Many times I've prayed, God, come quickly. But he's not going to come until his last elect is saved. What Paul is saying is that we can understand the chronological order, sequence, or events that are going to take place in the future, and we can know the measure of those times. I mean, any Bible student, whether first grade or fourth grade all the way through college, you'd understand that many of these signs are among us. When the truth is no longer true. You know, we get pretty excited, and I got to watch my terminology because Facebook is good, but they don't like to preach truth. They like you to fit in with all the others. I just can't do that. Can't fit in with something that is not biblical. But God said, you know, the question arises, can we know the date of Christ's return? In response, I believe that Christ has given us specific instructions to watch and wait. One thing that is evident, he says you can just see it, the homes are no more like they were 100 years ago than anything. But God said, in Matthew 24 and 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, the Son, doesn't know when the Father is going to say, Son, go get my children. But he's given us signs. We have signs when we're dealing with somebody, you know, that I've been talking to a person and they're not saved, but I believe if something don't happen real bad, they're going to be saved because I see the working of the Spirit in her life. You know, I don't know, you know, she probably wouldn't come here and she'd have problems because of her background, but, you know, God saves Protestants. God saves Catholics. God will save whoever the Father chose in him before the world began. Now, I don't know who they are, and you don't know who they are, but we can get a good feeling how receptive a man, woman, boy, or girl is. We conclude then that there is a specific time when Christ is to return, but God has chosen not to reveal this to us. We, however, can know and should understand the signs of the times. You know, I don't know whether that's the right name for them. I call them Easter lilies, those little flowers come up in, around Easter time. And when you see them coming up, you know that warmer weather is soon to follow. God said, when I'm going to send the sun back, there'll be a great falling away. And now it's not much difference in the churches than there are country clubs. That's just a fact. God said, in Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. So we can conclude from that scripture that there is a specific time when Christ is to return, but God has chosen not to tell us. But Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:18 that comfort one another with these words. My wife believed very strongly that the second coming of the Lord was near. She said, when he comes, won't be no more pain. No sorrow. The ultimate pain management is in the sky. We will know as he knows. Second Timothy, chapter 4 and verse 8, God said, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only. Notice. But unto all of them also that love his appearing. Now, it makes sense to me, if I love the appearing of the Lord, I want to get ready for that wedding. Are you getting ready? My friend, God tells us that he's coming. So we begin this study, therefore, from a chronological point of view. And I will begin by examining what the Bible says about the rapture. The meaning of the rapture. The next event in prophecy is often referred to as the rapture. One of the first concerns that arise in this study is that the word rapture. Can anybody tell me where I find that in the Bible? You know why you can't find the word rapture in the Bible? Because it's not there. But we know the rapture is real. We know that he's going to come. He's going to appear and he'll say, come, children. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain praise God, we'll go up to meet him. And I tell you, if that don't light your fire, you're dead. You've been soaked in water. When that means that every one of his elect has been brought into the fold. The word rapture has a Latin origin, which means caught up. The Greek word from which the Latin word comes is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, that says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Can you imagine spending eternity with God? Now, I love the song, but got a mansion just over the hilltop. And there's evidently a lot of mansions there. I mean, places that any of us would just love to live. But he said, "I'm going to prepare you a special place." You know, I always tell, you know, as I've told my granddaughters, fiance, he said, "I hate to dress up." I said, "Just wear the jeans." And my granddaughter looked at me and said, "Don't encourage it." Well, ain't nobody going to look at him. Nobody looks at the groom. They look at the bride. We as Baptists ought to be focused on being in the bride. So as long as I get to heaven. Yeah. Keep quiet, Tony. Other passages in the New Testament that refer to the rapture are found in, like, 1 Corinthians 1:17. "That ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, what do you bring to a royal wedding when Jesus Christ and the church comes together? In the book of Philippians 3:20, it says something like, "For our conversation in heaven, or our way of life in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." I don't think personally anybody could love their mother any more than I love mine. I don't think none of you men could love your wife any more than I love mine. But the first person I want to see is my Savior. My Savior. That's my heavenly bride. We make up that heavenly bride. We need to understand what the rapture is and how important it is, and prepare. You know, Titus 2:13. Notice what Titus said. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who is he? Verse 14 said, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. My old buddy over in Nixon County, he said, you're the most peculiar preacher I ever met. I said, thank you, brother. That's the best compliment I've had today. I don't want to fit in with the world. I mean, I treat them right. I love some of my buddies. I've got lost people who do anything for me. You know, they're good people. But they're lost and going to hell. And because they're good people, that burdens me. It ought to burden you. Don't get satisfied when they make a profession of faith and they go to something that is no more of a church than this bottle of water is. Christ built his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that's where the bride is going to come from. He said, well, I don't agree with you. I said, well, you know, good thing you live in America and not Russia. You got a right to be wrong without getting your head cut off. I believe you got a right to disagree. I don't get mad at people that don't agree with me. But when I preach it from the Word, you better watch out what you disagree with. Paul said in the book of Hebrews, or Luke, whoever you think wrote it, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many in Hebrews 9:28. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. If you write in your Bibles or mark in your Bibles, and I always carry a little yellow marker, you know, like this. And like I've come across, Hebrews 9:28. Which is a good verse. And it says, verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Now, did it say that Christ died for everybody? He said many. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I mean, Christ doesn't have the right to, God doesn't have the right to choose, but we go in the Cracker Barrel and, you know, if I'm eating the Cracker Barrel, I don't care whether it's morning, meal, or night, I'm eating breakfast. The rest of it I'll question, but I like that breakfast. But I hate going to the Cracker Barrel and they say, we ain't going to serve you breakfast no more. He said, well, they own the business. God owns me. He bought me, Harold, with a price. The price was the blood of his son. Amen. I belong to him. The person asked me, said, I was listening to one of your tapes and you said that you were married to your wife 55 years and you dated her 2 years, so how do you stay married 57 years? You learn to say yes there. How do you stay focused in the things of God? You say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I built a church, Tony. I want you to be a member of it. Yes, Lord. But I wasn't brought up Baptist. I know that. But you're going to be a Baptist from now on. Because I've got a Baptist bride in the making. I passed out the literature on that, but, you know, it's a Baptist bride. You know why? It was a Baptist that God called to baptize him. He could have been baptized by anybody back in town. But old John walked 60 miles to be baptized by the only. Can you hear me, church?
Amen.
The only one that had authority. And that authority came from God. Two descriptions of the rapture. The most important passages describing the rapture are found in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. There are eight great truths about the rapture in the first passage. We will get these, and then, boy, time flies when you're having fun. Somebody asked me, why are you still preaching? I have fun at preaching. I have more fun at preaching than I do anything. Because I'm here because of sound preaching. I'm able to get up and go to sleep because I've grounded in the Word of God. Now, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Concerning them which are asleep, that he sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You know what that means? Those graves are going to open. Or he may just bring them through it. I don't know. But they're going to glory before me if I'm still living. The dead in Christ shall rise first. So, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. You know, and any of y'all that disagree with me, that's fine, you know. A lot of people do. But can you see anything in this about a cremation? An old boy told me, he said, when I die, I want to be cremated by the hottest fire there is. I want them to rent a plane and take those ashes to spread them everywhere. do? Well, let me tell you something, friend. You put those ashes in the ocean, and a little fish eat them, and a big fish eat them, and a whale eat them, and this eat them, and when he calls them, they're all going to come out. Christ is our example. Amen. Come on now. Help me with this. He is our example. He is our example in starting a Baptist church. He was our example in getting scriptural baptism. He was our example in being buried. Amen. He is our example that he went back to heaven. He is our example. He's coming back for us. What is so hard about that? You know. Believe me, I know how much a funeral costs. But what do you do? Well, when that baby's born, you put a policy on that baby. You spend more money on Coca-Cola. Then when that child grows up, you know, it started with preparing. I'm probably the only preacher you know that preach on the rapture and teach you how to financially be secure. Planning. If I was one of those good preachers, I would say, can you say it, church, planning. I plan to go to heaven. But I want to serve the devil for as long as I can. That's suicide planning. All right. One more scripture. God said in Philippians 3:20, for your conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus tells us in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Hebrews 9:28, as we close. For Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. That's the introduction. I could preach on the second coming until he comes. You've got to understand that he's coming back and you don't know when. And we understand that in so many things. You know, a friend of mine's refrigerator went out. And I said, how are you going to pay for this? Oh, I used my mind. I took out a maintenance plan when you bought it. I said, good. Have you taken out a maintenance plan? It's titled salvation. You get saved and you let God control your life. It makes no difference when you die because you're going to be with him. Probably should leave this off. The the first person I see when I get to heaven is not going to be my wife or my mother or my siblings. It's going to be my Savior. Song leader, the pianist comes.